Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. So glad you're joining us today. Let's start with art. In a house once owned and occupied by a city magnate who owned enslaved people, now hangs a moving portrait of an elegant black woman and her husband. The painting is a reimagining of what the life of a maid hired to pose for a portrait by Manet might have been had she lived a free woman. Surrounding the portrait are other works of art and historical artifacts made by generations of New York women, each with their own distinct style and message to convey. The exhibit is called She Persists, A Century of Women Artists in New York, envisioned by the First Lady of New York City, Charlene McRae, and curated by art historian Jessica Bell Brown. The show turns the mayor's residence in Gracie Mansion into an art gallery, displaying 100 years' worth of art from suffragettes and labor activists, photographers and painters, living and dead, immigrants and native-born New Yorkers, each with something to say about the experience of being a woman in the city they called home. She Persists is on display now at Gracie Mansion. You can plan your visit, you got to plan it, by going to nyc.gov/Gracie Tours. And First Lady Charlene McRae and curator Jessica Bell Brown are in studio. Thank you so much for coming out on this cold day. Really appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Allison, for having us.
First Lady, what was the inspiration behind this exhibit?
Well, I think the inspiration was really a convergence of a few things happening all at once. The anniversary of the women's suffragist movement and the Me Too movement and the fact that it was time for another exhibit, and we wanted to do something that had never really been done before at Gracie. And to launch She Persists just seemed like such a perfect opportunity to give women whose work had not been recognized, had never really been heralded or celebrated in the way that so many men have had their work recognized, was a great time.
It's interesting that you said another exhibit, because for people who don't know, you have made this a point to have art and interesting shows at the mansion. Can you explain a little bit why that's important to you?
Yeah, well, the Gracie Mansion is widely recognized as the people's house. And we wanted the art in the people's house to reflect the people of New York City. That really had not been done before. Most of the work reflected New York scenery, certainly the previous owners, but the men. And we wanted to broaden the exhibit to show that, you know, so many people went into making New York what it is today, into shaping New York, and all the contributions that were brought by or made by so many different types of people. Even if they were not allowed to be in Gracie Mansion, we wanted to show how they had contributed. So the previous exhibits have shown artists who are around in 1799, and what they did, how they helped build New York, and also 1942, when the first mayor, Mayor LaGuardia, moved into Gracie, you know, what art was being produced all around the city at that time.
It's a big city.
It is a
big city.
Have big
ideas in the house. So, Jessica, what did you first think when you heard about the idea, and then what were some of the initial conversations with the First Lady?
My first thought was, oh, wow, that's bold and radical and absolutely necessary. I was taken aback at the First Lady's vision and really excited by what that kind of gesture could actually mean, not only for artists, but for New Yorkers of all walks of life. Gracie Mansion is the seat of power in New York, and to really level the playing field in terms of its visual representations. That was really fantastic.
So that's your historian hat. Put on your curator hat. I have to get this thing done.
Right. My curator hat was, oh, God. There are all these architectural details. I mean, Gracie Mansion is stunning. It was an old farmhouse that was expanded in the 60s and then renovated again in the early 2000s. So its main imprint is a grand ballroom, and adjoining each side are drawing rooms and parlors. So you're dealing with a living, breathing site. And it's not a white box or a white cube, as we see in museums who have pristine conditions of display. So there were a lot of of things that we had to consider in terms of how we could bring in really important historical artworks and also liven up, brighten up Gracie as well with more contemporary works as well.
It's interesting. I was wondering about what the light is like, because that's such an important part of an experience with art is the way the mm-hmm. light hits it. What kind of challenges did you have with that?
Actually, I think I had a really great team, Jonathan Elliott, who was our registrar, mm-hmm. and Paul Gunther, and who have worked in Gracie for a long time, and we worked together to kind of highlight certain architectural details as well. So, I mean, the light varies. There's great natural light in the Peach Room and the Blue Room, the Blue Drawing Room, which many of our listeners may have seen in the New York Times piece, mm-hmm. has dim light, but the kind of proximity that the average visitor to Gracie Mansion will have to the artwork is astoundingly close. So in a way, the light conditions kind of fall to the wayside because you are standing inches away from, I probably shouldn't say that to our museum lenders, but you're standing really close to really moving artworks.
First Lady, so we talked about the physical space. Of course, the history of the mansion is significant as well. Archibald Gracie, he owned enslaved people. Did you have conversations about addressing that?
We had conversations about addressing that when we first moved in there, and I think that informed the kinds of exhibits that we wanted to hold. Mm-hmm. So that reality is reflected in the fact that we were able to get a copy of the first Gradual Emancipation manuscript and highlight that in our second exhibit. I think, and Kara Walker's piece, Invasive Species, which is right outside the front door of the main entrance, is also a good example of how we remind people that about the history of Gracie, that it was certainly, at least partly, built by people who were enslaved, that this was Native American land, and that our history, New York City's history, is very deep. And I think it's important to remind people of that as they enter the doors and realize, like, who lived here? Where does this land come from? Who is this house built by? And how many different types of people contributed to the creation of this experience that I'm going to have?
I would add, Allison, mm-hmm. the piece that you started the show with, Elizabeth Colomba's Haven, was actually a fictional portrait of a young black couple who lived in Weeksville, which we know is what's now Crown Heights. And that painting, its timing was 1863, which was, you know, the middle of the Civil War, and Weeksville became a haven for so many formerly enslaved Africans and freedmen. So Columba's painting really speaks truth to the kind of power that has existed and histories that have existed within the life of Gracie itself.
My guests are First Lady Shirlane McRae and curator Jessica Bell Brown. We're talking about the She Persists, a Century of Women Artists in New York, currently on display at Gracie Mansion. I do want to circle back. Can you describe the Kara Walker piece?
Oh, sure. So Kara Walker's piece is a bronze sculpture that's about, I would say, about 5 feet high. When you encounter it, it's on a plinth, and you see this headless figure. It almost looks like somewhere between an abstraction and sort of the Renaissance sculpture of Bernini, let's say. But as you, and there I should also say there are 2 feet placed kind of disembodied from the trunk of the figure. And as you circumnavigate it, you see this voluptuous female figure or female form behind it. That's Invasive Species.
Mm. You developed 4 themes for this exhibit. You poor thing. Jessica's a trooper. She's got a really bad cold. What are the four themes?
The four themes are picturing people, body as battleground, contending with history, and expanding abstraction.
How did you come up with those four?
Well, the First Lady really encouraged us to foreground the installation by thinking about women's stories, or not only women's, the ways in which artists can capture their own stories and the stories of New Yorkers of all walks of life. So how do artists think about race, class, gender, notions of inequity, inequality? And so those themes, I think, really were the scaffolding to kind of capture a lot of those narratives that we wanted to uncover with the exhibition.
Firstly, I understand there is a great recognition of Shirley Chisholm.
Yes.
What do we see?
Well, we see some of the campaign literature in the exhibit. We have her autobiography, The Good Fight, and there's a video as well of her speaking, a photo of her with Coretta Scott King, and I don't remember who else is in the photo, but we see her being sworn in by Abe Beame. There we have a few pieces that acknowledge her position in New York City's history. I'm very proud that she's in the exhibit.
As someone who now has lived and is living a political life, as you reflect back on her contribution and what it was like to be Shirley Chisholm at that time, what do you think when you think about her and what she accomplished?
Oh, I have tremendous appreciation for her. What I regret is that I didn't know more about her as a young girl growing up. This is a woman who was like born in Barbados, living, working, pioneering in New York City, and I did not know about her history because it was not taught. I think that's just a tremendous shame. So I am feel very strongly about using every opportunity to share her history and her accomplishments with New Yorkers. This whole exhibit is about, mm-hmm. Sharing the accomplishments of women who should be known. Women are more than half the population, more than half. And yet there are stories untold that would inspire girls and boys growing up that we want to highlight.
Your mom makes an appearance.
Yes.
Let's talk about how mom's in there. What describe for people, it's incredibly sweet, mm-hmm. but I also think, well, they're dolls, right? They're dolls. Your
they
mom
are.
Made these dolls.
They are. They are just so wonderful. I love the dolls that she created over the years. My mother worked in a factory for many, many years. She loved to work with her hands, but what she really liked to do was sew. And she always lamented that there were few, if any, dolls of color available to young children. And it's something that she always wanted to do. And when she was in her late 40s, early 50s, once she had retired from working in the factory, she decided that that's what she was going to do. So she made these dolls, handcrafted with embroidery, and they are just delightful. They are like no dolls you would walk into a department store and buy. They don't look like the traditional Raggedy Ann's. They are all different styles, different shades of brown, different types of hair with cornrows and locks, and it's just braids, and they're just amazing. The three that are shown are dolls that she made for me. I have two sisters, and she made the exact same dolls for them. They are actually representative of us. She also made dolls for my brother. When he got married, she made like wedding dolls, dolls of them dressed up in their wedding outfits. So most of the dolls she gave away. She gave away to family members, to children of family members, some to school children who she thought they should have these dolls. Some were sold, But she did it because it was the way she expressed her love, I think, her love of children, her love of our people, and they're just gorgeous.
Jessica, what's the artistic value of the dolls, do you think?
Well, so one of the things that we try to do in the exhibition is not just show painting and photography mm-hmm. and sculpture, although I love those mediums, but craft is also really, craft and decorative arts mm-hmm. is so important in thinking about a more inclusive or expansive model of art history. I think more personally, how many of us have family members or loved ones who were makers and who had perhaps unactualized dreams of being creative and in whatever art form they chose not to pursue in a more public way, per se. So I think it's really touching that we had the opportunity to highlight Ms. McCrae as a maker, not not just, you know, other modes of her biography.
So, Florence Snoll is also represented, and obviously this has been in the works for a long time. It's very pressed. She recently passed away. Tell us a little more about her work.
So when we think of Nolan Associates, we think about the modern office, the modern American office. And many designers who had been associated with Knoll, like Mies van der Rohe, were men. But Florence Knoll was the co-founder and principal designer of Knoll. And so we had two of her iconic chairs and a hairpin stool, as well as a marble table, to honor her presence in the history of design. So we were lucky to be able mm-hmm. to honor her before she knew of the exhibition and was very excited about it before she passed.
I'm glad she knew about it. That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, the name of the exhibit, obviously people remember, Nevertheless, She Persisted. It's something very modern, out of the headlines. And there's also a piece that references Sandra Bland, the woman who died in custody in Texas. Why was it important to include, the name of the exhibit is political, and to include pieces which were politically charged, isn't the right word, but potent?
Yeah. It's important not to shy away from issues that matter. And I think there are a lot of people who look at art and only consider its beauty and not necessarily its sort of more political implications. And so Jennifer Packer's painting, Say Her Name, is the one that we're talking about. And it's a stunning, I'm sorry, it's a stunning still life of a funerary bouquet. And it's striking. I remember when we were installing it, there were lots of New York bureaucrats doing double takes looking at it because it was so beautiful. But Jennifer Packer's work deals with grief in addition to beauty and thinking about love and care and tenderness. And she knew as an artist that she wanted to call attention to the story of Sandra Bland, but understood her position as not necessarily knowing her. And so what does it mean to pay tribute to a life of someone who you didn't know but still experience a kind of collective grief for? And so that painting, I'm just so proud that it can hang at Gracie Mansion, not only because of its beauty, but because of its strong message. Yeah.
This show is so much about empowerment and being unified. And you mentioned that this is a really good time to have a show like this because of Me Too and because of the anniversary of women getting the right to vote. But we saw with the Women's March, First Lady, that there's been some fracturing among this movement to get women to be in positions of power and to be respected. As a leader and for other women who are leaders, what can we do so that the movement stays cohesive?
Well, I think this exhibit is a great example of showing how there is much, much more, we have much more in common than that which we think separates us. I mean, we have art by a woman who identifying artist, Tourmaline. We have art by Pierola de Leon, and of course, you know, Faith Ringgold. Women of all ages, different times in life, but the themes that Jessica described are really quite unifying. That the women, you know, whatever their background, all have like the body as a unifying theme. Marilyn Rosner,
or Martha Rosler, yeah.
Martha Rosler's work in the kitchen. I mean, there is no woman who cannot look at that piece, that video, and not identify with the message that she's sending. Faith Ringgold, the quilt. You know, there's so much that really unifies us as women, as humans, and I think art is an important unifier, an important reference point for us as we go about. You know, trying to make progress mm-hmm. in our society.
So stay focused on the unity.
Yes, stay focused on the unity.
Do you each have a piece, I know you have to go soon, that you hope people take an extra beat to linger in front of? A piece that you think, like, I want people to... I know it's hard. It's like saying your favorite. But you know how there's some pieces of work that you think, I just want
to... Who's your favorite child, right? Why do you do that?
That's why I only have one. So, that you think would be really... You would really like people to stop and maybe consider.
Well, one of the great things about the opportunity to work with the First Lady for the installation is that we not only had the chance to work with, you know, these iconic artists like Micheline Thomas and Florine Stettheimer and Helen Frankenthaler, all of whom you'll see on display, but artists who haven't had as much attention but are of equal importance, like Pierola de Leon. She's a photographer who has recently had work at El Barrio, and she is she was born in Harlem and spent a lot of time in the Bronx documenting the aftermath of the Bronx fires, and she has these two incredible photographs that I hope our listeners will get the chance to see. The first of which is My Playground, which is this gorgeous photograph of a young girl playing in rubble with these kind of charred buildings behind her. And the second is Woman Going to Work.
That's a good one.
That one's the one that speaks to me when I walk away from it. It's she's got this woman in stride, and she's striking and about business, and she's about to get on the train to go to work. Yeah.
That's a great example. I love those pieces. I would say the piece that actually brings me to tears is the one by Augusta Savage, the harp. Such a magnificent piece was shown at the World's Fair. And because there were no funds to cast it in bronze the way she would have liked, it was destroyed. To me, it's a terrific, such a sad waste. And it just makes me think about appreciating what we have now, appreciating the women and the work that they produce now, thinking of it as precious and delightful and something to be saved and honored. Like, are we doing that? You know, are we giving them their due now so that something like that doesn't happen again?
The name of the show is She Persists, A Century of Women Artists in New York, 1919 to 2019. First Lady Charlene McRae and Jessica Bell Brown, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Allison.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Bruce Schoenfeld from the New York Times. He's written a piece for this weekend's Times Magazine about new and highly anticipated rules for betting on Major League sports teams. This is All of It on WNYC.